I know for the last few weeks we've been talking about culture and the importance of having the right culture in our life. And how many of you have ever looked up in the sky and there's something up there in the sky at night? Yeah, some days, yeah. What's at night in the sky? Stars. And what's even closer than the stars? The moon. We got moon there. So, you know, the moon has extreme temperatures. There's a 500-degree swing in temperatures in the moon. There's some places that get up to 200 degrees above zero. Some of them gets down at night to 300 or more degrees below zero. How much light does the moon in itself have? None. All the light you see, everything you see in the moon is reflective. And the culture we have here is the goal of that is so that people can know what God is really like. But we can't do it ourselves. Whatever we give from Him, whatever people see in us, it's reflective. It's because of Him shining in us. And a lot of that, there's a verse that Jesus shared in Matthew, says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Every one of us is reflecting something. Either ourselves or our history or whatever, you know, all is reflecting something in our life. But the light here that Jesus is referring to, it's a light that's going to point people to God. It's a light when they see us, they see reflection. And we've talked about in our culture here, and our desire in the things we do and the things we've shared last few weeks, is that we can help people know what God's like. And part of having that light shine, part of it, if you want that to shine, is being a Bible-based Christian. If you want your light to shine, it's important. And when we talked about what it means to be a Bible-based Christian, it's not just reading the Bible, not just being able to quote the Bible, but actually having the Bible residing, really, which is Jesus in us, living. Every time we have scriptures in us and we live that, all we're doing is we're living Jesus, because He is the Word in manifest. And another thing we talked about was being led by the Holy Spirit. Part of letting our light shine is letting the Holy Spirit guide us and teach us and show us what we're supposed to do. And last week, we discussed a little bit about what it means to be a family of God. You know, our relationships and how we treat people is part of letting our light shine, big time. How we treat not just people, your family or friends, but people is a big part of letting our light shine. Part of the culture of the one we're talking about today is this wasn't meant just for us to keep in these four walls or just so you can keep by yourself. Our item, and you can see it on our bulletin, one of the last cultures there is we are servants caring for our community. So the question is love really love if it's not shared with someone? Love always, to be loved, has to have something it's being shared with. And so we talk about God's love. We discussed a little bit last week about family and how being family, we should resemble Him. If there's some reflection, I'm sure in your family, there's habits. It's amazing that Lois's sister lives down in Tennessee. And Grace is hardly ever around her. But there's traits that Grace do that's like her. And so there's a reflection there. You can see certain family traits. And then our desire is that we resemble Him. But is God only caring for those who are in this room? Or those who maybe have made a commitment to Him and received Jesus? Does He only care for those? There's several times in the Bible, and this is why it's so important to be in the scripture, for us to know what He's like, to know Him, and to know the truth. One of the most quoted verses in the scripture, John 3:16. I remember when I was going to Ohio State, this is the only verse I knew. I just got saved. This is only first thing too. And some guy came up to me and he says, I'm not going to talk to them. Never mind. I'll tell you what he said. Anyways, but he wanted to know about scripture, and this is the only one I could quote him. But so it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God cares for everyone. He came for everyone. I don't know about you, when you got saved, but I used to be that. I used to be outside looking in. I used to be not those counted. All of us were sinners at one time that needed saved. There's another verse in Romans 5:8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I didn't become a Christian because I was saved or I wasn't a sinner. I became a Christian because I was lost. Pretty lost. And there's a lot of things messed up. I'm not saying they're all fixed, but some things got fixed in here. The main thing is I was forgiven of my sin by the grace I have through Jesus. As Lisa shared, as Mike shared this morning and others, that I got into this relationship not because, and I think I shared this one time. I don't know if I shared one time. Pastor John used to have all the elders set up here. And every once in a while, we'd rotate us. And we had a guest speaker, Justin Cornwall. I don't know if you guys ever heard of him, remember him. And he was up here speaking. And we were all sitting there. There was like six of us. We take turns. We were looking out. And he says, how many of you came to God because you loved him? I thought, yeah, I love God. He goes, you're a liar. I thought, oh, I guess, oops. He goes, because the Bible says that nobody comes to God unless the Father draws him. I thought, okay, I'm corrected on that. That it wasn't me, God, it was you who drew me to you. So God is reaching out to us. There, Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, he says, I tell you, love your enemies. Now, he's not going to tell you something he's not going to do. He'll be that would make him a hypocrite. He's not going to. So Jesus says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. And then he goes on, he says, because he, our Father, causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. In other words, saying, God cares for everyone, whether it's his or not his. It's just his nature. It's who he is. He's going to take care of us, which I thank you for that. There's another verse back in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 11. He talked about how he wanted shepherds, his shepherds, to care for those who are perishing. So this is not something new. This didn't happen when Jesus came, that all of a sudden he said, well, I think I'll act this way now. God's not changed. He's been this way before creation. He was this way before he created Adam and Eve, that his heart was that no one's perished. There's a scripture in Isaiah 61, which I call Jesus' job description, Jesus' personal goals in life, which really is ours. And it starts, it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. This is Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. You are displaying his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Who's they? It's us. You know, this is going to happen. If this is going to happen, what's that mean? That means, you know what that means? If we're going to be doing this, that means you're going to be around people who are brokenhearted. You're going to be around people who are in captivity. You're going to be around people that's in darkness, that's in mourning, that their life is in ashes, they're in devastation, they're in ruins and despair. We're going to be around people like that. That's what that means. Because it means we read that and we think, oh, that's cool. But then there's a part of us being there. But if you remember, how many of somebody knows somebody in one of these categories? Anybody in one of those categories? They needs that? The thing is remember the first verse of this section of scriptures. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. That's how this is going to happen. If we try to go in and do it ourselves, it's going to be pretty weighty. And not forgetting what's supposed to happen. What's going to happen when we go in? It's not just that we join in and say, well, let's both be brokenhearted together. Or let's be both in despair and anxious and mourning. Not that we can't empathize with ones. But what's he say is going to happen? If we go back here, for the brokenhearted, he says there's going to be healing. For those in captivity, there's going to be freedom. For those in darkness, there's going to be a release from that darkness. For those in mourning, he's going to give them comfort and provision, says an oil of joy. For those whose life is in ashes, he's going to give them a crown of beauty. For those who are in despair, he's given them a garment of praise. For those whose life is in ruins, he's going to rebuild them. For life that's in devastation, he's going to restore them. So it's not like we're going empty-handed. He's bringing this to those who are in that. But it's by the Spirit of the Lord that's going to happen. So how do we know what to do when we're talking about helping ones and getting involved in our community and serving our community? How do we know what to do? I'm sure every one of us has something that stirs your heart these days that just grieves you when you see it. When you see people and situations and life and things, there's just things that can grieve us. So what do we know? How do we know? How do we steward those things that are stirring in our heart? Well, one of the first things is prayer. We can pray as soon as we hear it. We can pray in the midst of it. We can pray afterward. The Bible promises in James chapter 5, it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Remember, your righteousness does not come from how good you were this week or how much you read your Bible or how much you got to share your faith or what nice thing you did. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's the righteousness we're weighing on. So because of our faith in him and that righteousness, our prayers make a difference. They make a big difference. And so it's not a question of, am I supposed to get involved with? Am I supposed to go? That was answered in the scriptures. But the question is what, where, when, how, why? What am I supposed to do? It's just listening to the Holy Spirit. Maybe you'll be a part of a team. Maybe it'll be something that you just do once. Maybe it'll be part of just praying, maybe giving. There's all kinds of things. But one of the things I think is important is remember that don't think that what you're doing is insignificant. There's nothing we can do when we're obeying God that's insignificant. Everything we do in obedience to God is insignificant. Years ago, there was a group, big group of us, went up to Drummond Island, Michigan. And Drummond Island in the Upper Peninsula, it sets right over here. And we went up there to do Vacation Bible School. You guys were high school seniors. Daryl Hartsker was a high school senior. There's a bunch of people that went with us. I think we almost had 50 people, that group. So we went up there, and what we used to do is we do a Vacation Bible School for smaller churches, smaller communities that didn't have the people to do that for. So we did a Vacation Bible School for this place on the island, this church on the island. And we decided we had enough people. Let's go do, I know Alan, you guys went with us. Let's go do one on the mainland, which is just a little village. It was just a little tiny. The only thing that was over there was the ferry ride that you could get on the ferry. I think they had a store or something. And so let's go over there and do one, and we'll do one over here. So we did that. And so we had probably 10 or 12 people over there. And the first day we had 3 kids show up. I thought, well, that's not very many. You know, we got to promote this thing. We got to get more kids. So the next day, but those 3 kids, our kids were great. I mean, we had different sections. They have crafts and they have games. And of course, everybody rotated with everybody because nobody else was there. So you only had one group. And so we had all these attention on these kids. You know, they were just having a blast. The kids were enjoying this. And so now I'm weighing, should we still do this? Should we still put the effort into this? You know, it's just 3 kids and stuff. So the next day, we had maybe a couple more kids show up, and just like, you know, the youth were doing great. I mean, they were doing great. On the third day, we got some information that showed us why This is important. Why it's good to not think which is significant. Three of those kids, the first day we got, those two girls and a boy, they found them. They had been abandoned for 2 weeks in a cabin. People just left them. Their parents or whoever's wife just left them. They had found them. They were just surviving. And they brought them to that vacation Bible school so they can have restoration and positive. So I look at that. I look at these children. I think, well, what was that? There was healing going on. There was value. I mean, the fact of having seven youth that are just loving and pouring on them and having fun with them and doing crafts with them and teaching them songs and singing and teaching about God's love, just pouring into them. And you realize, being careful not to think that what you're doing is insignificant. God knew that situation. God knew what was going on. And God can use the smallest seed of an act of kindness, the smallest a smile. You just smiling can change somebody's life. You might not think that's a big deal. You know what? You can all do it. Let's practice. All right, this side didn't do it. That's right. See, you can all do it. We can all smile. So there's that part. There's sometimes you think, well, how do I know we get involved? Sometimes you just need to get in. There was back in, I don't know if you guys know, back in 1999, Pastor John, we were talking. There was opportunity for me to step in and finish the term of the president of Marion City Council. So we talked. Pastor John, we always talked about getting involved in the community and stuff. So I said, I'll do it. So I went in. I got appointed as president of Marion City Council. So I was serving there and doing all that stuff. And I thought, yeah, we're going to change the world. We're going to get here and change the world. And then reality hit. But the cool thing is I got to pray because they didn't have pastors coming to pray. So I prayed. I mean, I was really interceding during the meetings and opening up and doing stuff and everything. It was pretty good. But I was sensing that the other part of that, of being on presidency councils, I had to run for office too. Now, before all this, the first thing I did is I talked to my wife and I talked to our daughters. This was BG, before Grace. So this is our other two daughters. And they said, yeah, Dad, do it. You got to do this. So on the night of the election, it was going in and I was running. We were doing all the campaigning but I still was praying. It's so important to continue listening. So I was listening. What are you doing, God? What am I supposed to be doing? And they wanted me to do all this election stuff and all these speeches, which I did a bunch of them and stuff. But I was like, I'm going to listen to you, God. So I was going around, and they went to the night election. We were at the campaign headquarters, and the girls were, my two daughters was in the kitchen, and they go, what's going on, Dad? And I go, well, right now I'm losing. They go, yay, Dad's losing. And I said, I started laughing. I said, what do you mean, well, yay? They go, no offense, Dad, but this is really taking a lot more time, what you said. And I thought, oh. I said, well, why didn't you tell me? Well, you wanted to do this. And we tried, and I thought, okay, Lord, I can see you're not in this anymore for me. And I end up losing by 9 votes, one of the closest elections in the city, which was okay because God, he let me do that. It was a time. But God also knew that within 4 weeks after my term ended, somebody else was coming along. Yes, sir. We were going to have a little baby, so named Grace Payne. And so God knows. So it's important to listen when you're doing stuff, to realize there's balance and there's things that you can be involved with, and there's things that just listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, the things we're involved with, it's okay that you enjoy them. It's okay to have fun with things that God gave you to do. Part of it, Jesus said that we're to make disciples. You know, part of making disciples is feed the poor, clothing, helping ones, bringing healing. This is part of making disciples. Part of ones helping to know them. We have a video we're going to share here, and then we have a time for some prayer. So if you want to turn off light, this is just something to. Can you do the blinder light here? There, thank you. So if you want to go ahead and pop that up, this is just to give you a little idea of about getting involved.
is so far down, and how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. I said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. Yeah. I created you. If not us, then who? If not me and you, right now. Well, it's time for us to do something. Talking about how we are God's hands and feet, but it's easier to say than to be. Live like angels of apathy. We tell ourselves it's alright, somebody else will do something. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of life with no desire.
Of God in my life. We go ahead and stand as our musicians come on up, please. There's a verse in Ephesians that says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." There's a saying we have around here. It's called "Listen to see." You remember that? Yeah, listen to hear. I'm sorry, listen to hear. Look to see. Sense to feel. God has something for every one of us to look and say, God, what is it? You know, we could ignore it, and that's up to you. That's that free choice. But he does have something. And whatever he has for us, it's a part of that abundant life he came to give us. I love what Bill Johnson said. Bill Johnson shares that the world is full of orphans looking to be adopted. We are the family of God. Let's adopt them. Let's adopt. Let's reach out. Let's open doors. Let's make rooms. Let's help bring that healing and help bring ones in to the kingdom of God. If you're willing, say, Lord, I'm willing, as we shared there, to look to see what you're saying to me, to listen, to hear what you might be speaking, and to see and to sense, to feel things might want me involved with. If you're willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to look. You know, there is a grace of God. I'm saying, God, what is the grace of my life? But sometimes you have to maybe get out there a little bit, check it out, see if that grace is there. But to say, God, what is the grace of life? Are you willing to make that commitment? If you are, just lift your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm willing to make that commitment. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your love for people, your love for mankind, God. Lord, we ask that you would send us, God. Send us, Lord. Lord, wherever it would be, if it's our neighbor, if it's in school, if it's in the community, and at different levels of leadership or different levels of service, if there's ways here that we're getting in touch with the community to be involved here, God, whatever way, if there's new ways, Lord, that we don't even know yet, that you want to stir up a new avenues, Lord, of reaching ones, that you would show us, God, that we could be the light to our community, God. Be the salt of the earth, Lord, for your glory, that they might know you and know what you're like. We thank you.